Welcome to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Tatoon, and this is TechNori Live from WGN Radio, where Chicago's top tech founders and entrepreneurs come to share their story. Sitting next to me is, for once, an easy name, Kevin Kent, COO of Review Trackers. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So, you know, what we normally do is kind of just start off with a little background on the company, a little background on yourself, and then we kind of get into a little bit more fun questions and find out sort of how you built this and how you're building it and the future and the mission and just, you know, normally just tomfoolery, just get into some goofy stuff. So why don't we start off with what is Review Trackers?
Yeah, Review Trackers is an online software platform. We work with location-based businesses, help them aggregate, monitor, manage their online reviews. So real short, think Subaru is one of our customers. They have 600 dealerships nationwide, and each one of those dealerships has 5 to 10 profiles. So you're thinking tens of thousands in aggregate when you're looking at the brand and the company as a whole. So we put all this disparate data into one central dashboard, provided analytics around it, notifications, and some other tools so they can really communicate and understand what their customers are saying about them online.
And does that sort of play its role? So I've always wondered, I've worked with Gatorade when they started Mission Control a few years ago, just down the street here, actually. They built their Mission Control Center, which was essentially anything and everything that took place during Twitter, social media, whatever it was. They had a single person who was on staff 24/7. So when things would come up, they would literally communicate back. And I always wondered, that's not really scalable. I mean, you could have it kind of all over, but you're not going to have the same person. So the response, you know, unless you give them a, this is our voice, it's very challenging. So is this how it works? I have no idea how companies handle reviews and make sure that why some companies I can write a crappy review and then I hear nothing. And other companies, I write something and seconds later, I'm back with somebody saying, hey, how can I help you? I'm sorry you had a bad experience. How?
Absolutely. It's really a company-by-company decision. It's the industry is evolving and maturing over the past couple of years that we've been involved in it. But
and ironically, of course, Subaru, known for its extremely good customer service.
And you'll see that, especially those early adopters that are paying attention to these things. There's really – it's not a coincidence. I can't say it's only because they're using a tool like Review Trackers or paying attention to that, but it's across the board, their mission, their philosophy as a customer service entity or that portion of the business is to invest time and effort into that relationship. And so they're looking for every edge they can get to improve efficiency to do so. So each company approaches it differently. There's some who decide that it's not something they really want to worry about or can't scale. And that's where a software tool like Review Trackers comes in. You also have companies who have dedicated people, teams of people on staff doing really a manual check on a daily, weekly basis. So they're going to hundreds, if not thousands, of different profiles checking when there's alerts. They're probably using some other social media tool to get alerts, but they're trying to take advantage of every interaction possible. And they're those companies are having the best interaction with their customers in a lot of ways.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think there's no surprise, I guess I should say. Well, like even on Facebook, you actually can see like how typical or how fast the response time is usually. Mm-hmm. Because honestly, if I'm going to use a company and you're going to mess up, I know, like maybe not United style screaming down the hallway mess up, but
that's on another level.
That's on a different, how do you handle that review?
No.
Screaming down the aisle. I guess you just try to make that, transcribe that.
Just apologize profusely.
Right. But it's like, maybe not quite as bad, but I just expect, you're a company, you're going to make mistakes. Things are going to happen. What I hate is when I find companies that do not respond well to it or they just ignore it. It's like, well, you use us, this happens. Yeah. And I didn't mean to go into Trump voice when I say that. That's not what I meant to do. I mean, I did mean to, but at any rate.
Well played.
Yeah, I try to make people laugh here. No one ever laughs. He's not even smirking. This is ridiculous. But at least I got you laughing. So, but the point is, though, what makes a brand something sticky, the reason I go back to them again and again is that I know that they care about my bottom line. They care that I spend money with them, but they actually care that I experience a good product all the time.
Absolutely.
And when they don't deliver, they want to make sure that they clean it up and they deliver. Mm-hmm. And that's something where literally I'm going down the street in a couple of minutes to pick up Arcos Golf. I don't know if that should be a client of yours. Arcos Golf, they do the 360 deals to analytics for golf.
Okay.
And I had a set that I bought and it didn't work. It stopped working like half of them. And I wrote them a tweet and then I got an email from one of the founders literally saying like, hey, I also checked out your show, which is probably why he took care of this. But he's like, just head down to the whatever, we'll have it delivered to the Apple Store, we'll give you a brand new one.
That's
like,
awesome.
It's all cool. Like that was in a matter of maybe a day.
Yeah. There's a pretty clear distinction between the companies that are doing nothing and really don't care, and then the ones that are trying to fake it and put a little bit of effort, those are the ones you'll get.
The fake ones are the worst. I'd rather have someone be completely indignant.
Right.
I would much rather just, like, I don't care.
Than see, like, 50 different responses, or not different, 50 of the same responses to everything posted, no matter how big or small of a deal it is.
It's so ridiculous.
Yeah. And then you have the other side where you have people who genuinely care about that relationship, and to your point, no business is perfect. People have bad days. People, especially large organizations, yeah, where there's so many levels of management and touch points with the customer. And really, in our experience, the most important thing is taking that genuine effort to rectify the situation and make amends. And hundreds of times we've seen this play out. I mean, obviously from, you know, arm's length, but where the brand will make an effort to make amends, and it works, and they actually make a better customer relationship out of it because they cared. They took the time to listen. Sometimes people just want to, you know, they have a bad experience. They don't want to be malicious. They just want to vent a little bit and be heard. And if you have a business that's trying to hear them and make the situation better and really make improvements, most people are pretty, you know, good about being receptive to that.
Yeah. I mean, to that point, I would say it's kind of a funny thing. I feel like with a lot of the companies, and I probably have a bias or a unique perspective because I talk to business owners all the time, right? And I sit down, and I am one, and I worked in the space. So I am always just amazed with large companies like McDonald's, like large companies that they're even as consistent in delivery that they are. Mm-hmm. And yet at the other side of the coin is the end user does not care. Right. And they expect it to be the same. That 79-cent cheeseburger better be the same thing every time, whether I'm here or I'm in Tokyo.
Yeah.
And that's sort of...
I was in Spain last month. And
how was the McDicks there?
Yeah, it was delicious.
Pretty solid. Exactly. It's
and,
great.
And I went because we were in a rush, and I was looking for something that I just knew it was going to be good.
Consistent, good.
Didn't want to think about it. Just grab and go.
It was the cocaine in the Diet Coke the same? They had the same crack that they stick in the Diet Coke?
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, I was going to ask you sort of the what got you into this? What was the mission behind it? But I think it's pretty obvious, like, what the opportunity you saw was. But I want to kind of get into your mindset. Are you a co-founder? Okay, so you're there at the beginning of this. What had to be that? And I don't mean the garbagey, what's the aha moment? That's not the point. But that moment when you see the Angie's List and the Yelps of the world and these other things popping up, and you're like, wow, there's going to be a sub-market. It's going to rest right beneath or right on top, however you look at it, of the review world.
Yeah.
And you had to have had your brain just explode.
When we got into it, and Chris, my CEO, he founded the company and got things to get to the MVP level and brought me in at that point to really, I'd say, transition it from a great idea and an early platform and start building it into a business. At that time, there was already... Yelp had a lot of traction in a number of other sites, and the problem and the pain point was really clear that on both sides of the coin, if you're a significant enterprise account with multiple hundreds of locations, you can't monitor and manage, do all that in one, you know, with one or even five people. If you're a single location mom and pop business, you have the other side of that you're most likely a sole proprietor. You have a million things on your plate, and you don't have time to even look at one review site. So,
yep.
So the pain point was clear, and the ability to come in and help businesses interact with their customers and provide a better customer experience was just it was abundantly clear to us, and every conversation we had made that more and more clear.
I used to do consulting work with a company that was located in. I'm forgetting the name of the town now. It's right by where the producers live. I can't remember the name of it. But at any rate, it was a retail shop. And when we talked to them, they always battled with what we call the one and the five star. The five star is the people who come in here every day. They're always going to write a five star. They like you. They know people's names. The one star is someone who didn't get a five star feeling that time. They didn't get a four. They probably got a four star, you know, experience, but they put a one because it wasn't perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And we had this whole kind of idea strategy around like how to regrow their name. And at the end, I literally campaigned around for them, built a campaign around trying to build a three star.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you could eliminate all the one stars or move them into three stars, the ranking and what people would view of you and how things would go would just be a lot better. How do you contain it to where people feel like they should give you a legitimate review? And a lot of that ends up coming back with your response.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're just pissed in the moment. So they write something and you're like, you can literally turn a person, like Amazon's a perfect example. People don't get their delivery on time. One, worst shit ever.
Right.
2 minutes later, you call them back like, hey, we're really sorry. We'll send you another product, and here's free shipping for the next week.
No, good.
Five star.
Yeah.
Love them.
I apologize. I don't have the stat off the top of my head, but there has been some research out there around the percentage of one-star reviews that with interaction from the brand and trying to address the situation will either remove the negative review or increase it to a whatever it is, 3, 4, 5 star.
I think it's got to be high.
It is high. It's north of 50%.
It has to be, because I think people love to tell the story about how, like I do, my girlfriend loves telling the story of how I went on Twitter and ripped this company apart, and then they call her personally and apologize. Like, it's a great story.
Yeah, it is. I mean, like I said, people want to be heard, and if the person on the other end listens and sympathizes a little bit, and in those cases admits that, hey, we dropped the ball a little bit, you know, most reasonable people are going to accept that and give them another shot at minimum, if not become a more loyal fan.
And from the crisis communication side, let me just tell you, just admit that you're wrong. Talk to a lawyer first. Make sure that whatever you said you're wrong about is not libelous. But afterward, just say I'm sorry. Even if it's in a personal handwritten note that you can set on fire upon delivery, make sure you write that I'm sorry and I was wrong.
It's a good starting point.
Good policy. Yeah. So it's rare that we have someone who's in the space who can kind of tell us what's going on in the review world.
Yeah.
I'm a huge comment section fan. I love to read the comment section, and I think obviously reviews is kind of a similar thing.
Very much.
Where do you see the evolution of this going? I feel like we went through the novelty of it, like, oh, holy cow, I can actually write something, you know, back and provide real-time feedback, to surveys and analytics behind it to make sure that we make our customer satisfaction, yada, yada, yada. And it kind of spurred the user, the wide-known user interface, kind of where the UX term is widely known now because of this. And then we went through the next iteration, which was like the trollers who go out and write just obscene stuff. And now I feel like we're starting to level out again where people are sort of somewhat honest in when they review. Where do you see this going? What is the next thing? Like, what are you guys going to be working on next? Like, what are you looking out for? What technology maybe are you working on to stay ahead of the review curve?
For sure. I guess, well, first off, the trajectory that I see is very similar. We make a pretty clear distinction between straight social media and then the review space.
Sure.
Similar, same, you know, going in the same direction, different lanes. But you look back to Twitter X number of years ago, most businesses didn't think it was a significant form of communication.
They thought it was a joke.
Yeah, it was for high school kids, right?
Yep.
And over time, they realized that customers are paying attention to this. They're able to, it's difficult to quantify, but it does impact their bottom line revenue, which then, of course, gets their attention. Reviews, we've seen the same thing. You know, early on, and this was even 4 years ago, we saw a huge opportunity, but the buyer on the other end wasn't totally convinced that it was a business case. They knew that it was out there. They knew that there was good information. And what we've seen mature now following that same trajectory is they're realizing, okay, significant numbers and percentages of people make business decisions, or buying decisions rather, based on online reviews, and it's not disputed anymore. It's not, you know, it's not my opinion because it's convenient for my business.
Yeah,
it's people
although
do.
It is.
It really is. Yeah, but it's also one
no,
of the,
it's totally true.
Which is it's also one of the reasons that that got me so excited about the opportunity is, you know, I saw that and bought into it and knew that because of my own behaviors and checking reviews before I make purchase decisions, that I wasn't the only one. It was everyone I knew, really, in my generation and friends, that family, all of the above. So,
and the other thing that's cool about your industry is that this is not going to go anywhere. I mean, I don't mean like in a bad way. I mean,
right.
This isn't going anywhere. Like we talk about automation and robots and all this other stuff. The one thing that will always have, it'll be more important as we go into the automation world, is review.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, that's going to be my human contact. That my stuff is going to get eaten up by a bot who's going to shit out some kind of analytical report that you're going to read and be like, dude, not going good, not going good.
So to answer your question, where are things headed? What's next? It is some of that natural language processing and computer learning where you have this huge data set, right? You have a business that has multiple locations. They have tens of thousands of reviews. And you can read those as individuals, and that's a great first step and having people digest that. But what the next step is having all of that data in one central location and then being able to pull legitimate business insights out of it. So being able to say, without having any human interaction, saying, these are your top five locations and this is why. These are your bottom five locations, this is why. Joe is a jerk and doesn't treat people well because he's mentioned in 9 different negative reviews. And this is the reason why you're selling more cars of this variety, because they can pull all that when you look at the massive quantities of data. You might not get that from one review, 10 reviews, 100, 10,000, 20,000, 30,000, you can start to pull directional information. And what we want to do is automate that process so you can look at one huge data set like that and pull actual insights from it.
That's awesome. Very cool. This is great. It was really actually more fascinating than I think anyone would find on just reviews. But quite honestly, this I just think it's a really cool space because we more and more we get to a point like I get to a point now where I interview people in sales and their person-to-person skills are shit. And now I'm thinking like the analysts were always the guys who like you don't talk to them because they don't know anything. They like can't talk to humans. And now even the analysts don't have to talk to humans. So at some point we're all just going to
be nothing. Yeah.
It's going to be bot to review.
The best part is some of the funny reviews you come across. So we used to We have a live demo accounts where we pull in review data that when we're doing on a sales pitch, and we used to have it where it was a little less structured and we just had random things in there. So some of the reviews were just you'd come across them on live on a demo and see it and just have to.
I have written down my last thing I was gonna ask you out. It was like what's your favorite review you've ever seen, good or bad?
The funniest one I can recollect at least pretty close to was. It was a fast food chain in the South, and it was really good chicken. Got stabbed here, but we'll definitely be back. I can't remember.
I think I wrote that review.
Yeah, it was 4 or 5 stars, but it was.
I think that
serious.
Was at a Crystal of downtown New Orleans on just off of Bourbon and what. I think I wrote that review.
Yeah, it gets stabbed and still coming back. That it must be good food. So.
Oh my God, that's classic. Yeah. Kevin, this is great. Where do people go to learn more about Review Trackers from a business side? How do they get in touch with
you? Yeah, reviewtrackers.com. Everything, you can request a demo, get a ton of information. We have a lot of other resources out there on the website that can give you information, even if it's just around the space and best practices. We try to put out as much content as possible and be a thought leader to point people in the right direction because it's a lot. There's a lot to digest.
I was going to say, it seems kind of random, but and it's not your, B2B, so it's not quite consumer driven so much, but I would feel like you guys could have a Twitter handle that would just be to die for, or like an Instagram where like you blur out, you redact the names like our last guest does. You can actually send it over to Malili.
Yeah.
They'll redact the names for you and then you can post like the best reviews of the day.
There's some, I mean, you come across some pretty classic ones. They're solid. Some of which you wouldn't want to be,
associated with,
exactly.
But you know what? Yeah. Like, I think we create like a sub Twitter for it. Maybe.
Some take it to a level you wouldn't think you would want to post publicly, but to each their own.
If you're a person who is not a comment section like dweller like myself, I recommend it. It's like maybe it's just good for like when you're in the bathroom, but
some good stuff in
it's
that.
So good. Yeah. It's classic to tap into the mind of a maniac.
Clever people out there writing stuff.
Awesome. Kevin, thank you so much.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure.
Watch this episode and more on technori.com. Download our podcast on iTunes and stay connected by following us on Facebook and Twitter @technori or follow me @Katoon. Boom. That's a wrap.